Like you please to turn with me to two passages in the New Testament. We'll read again in John 9. I might have to read a bit to get the context. John 9, verse 1, page 1281. 1281, John chapter 9 and verse 1. And as he, that is Jesus, passed on, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifested in him. I must work the works of him that has sent me while it is day. And the night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spat on the ground, made mud of the spittle, and put the mud as ointment on his eyes. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which interpreted is sent. He went therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, those who used to see him before, that he was a beggar, said, is not he this he who was sitting, that was sitting and begging? Some said, it is he. Others said, no, but it's like him. He said, it is I. They said, therefore, to him, how have thine eyes been opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made mud and anointed mine eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. And having gone and washed, I saw. They said, therefore, to him, where is he? He says, I do not know. Verse 24, they called therefore a second time the man who'd been blind and said to him, give glory to God, we know that this man is sinful. He answered therefore, if he is sinful, I know not. One thing I know, that being blind before, now I see. And they said to him again, what did he do for thee? How opened he his eyes? He answering said, I told you already, and ye did not hear. Why do ye desire to hear again? Do ye also wish to become his disciples? And they railed at him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this man, we know not whence he is. The man answers and said to them, now in this is a wonderful thing, that ye do not know whence he is, and he's opened mine eyes. But we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone be God-fearing and do his will, him he hears. Since time was, it has not been heard that anyone opened the eyes of one born blind. If this man were not a God, he would be able to do nothing. They answered and said to him, thou hast been wholly born in sins, and thou teachest us. And they cast him out. Jesus heard they cast him out, and having found him, he said to him, thou, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him? And Jesus said to him, thou hast both seen him, and he that speaks with thee is he. And he said, I believe, Lord, and he did him homage. Now I'd like to read in the book of the Acts, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, page 1304. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. And Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, which is the ninth hour. And a certain man who was lame from his mother's womb was being carried, whom they placed every day at the gate of the temple called Beautiful to ask alms of those who were going into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to enter into the temple, asked to receive alms. And Peter, looking steadfastly upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, silver and gold I have not, but what I have, this give I to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, rise up and walk. Having taken hold of him by the right hand, he raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Just verse 19. Repent, therefore. This is Peter's message to the people. Repent, therefore, and be converted for the blotting out of your sins, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And he may send Jesus Christ, who was foreordained for you, whom heaven indeed must receive till the times of the restoring of all things, of which as God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since time began. I'd like to speak about two persons who were born in a condition that was then incurable. One man was born blind and the other was born lame. Two men who were not able to help themselves. And you know, we're just like that man. We're born blind. We cannot see unless God opens our eyes. But the wonderful thing about the gospel message is God has a wonderful way of salvation for you. Not one of us in this room is born blind or born lame. But what a wonderful thing it is to know the power of God. The man born blind was given sight. The man born lame was made to walk. And it's all through the name of the Lord Jesus as far as the man born lame was concerned. But it was through the power of the Lord Jesus personally for the man born blind. Terrible thing, both of these men could not earn their living. And both of them could not enter into the temple grounds because they had a defect. The man born blind had a clear defect. The man born lame couldn't walk. So there they were, helpless and hopeless. And that's just like you and me, as sinners, away from God. We're blind and lame. We cannot help ourselves. Both of these men were reduced to becoming beggars. They had to ask for everything. Imagine what it might be like to be born blind and you can't see. And you have to be guided by someone. You have to hear, listen, and feel and find your way. But you need someone to help. These men could do nothing for themselves. The man who was lame couldn't. He was brought every day to the gate of the temple and placed there to beg. Well, what a terrible position to be in. He couldn't earn his living, neither could. Both were incapacitated to a huge degree. The man born blind had never seen. It wasn't that he became blind. He'd never, ever seen. Imagine that. You were born blind and you couldn't see and you had to rely on somebody else for everything. You had to really rely on someone else. Well, you know, the gospel comes to us, those of us that realize how helpless we are. By nature, we can do nothing to make ourselves better. You cannot improve yourself. You cannot improve if you're... The man who was born blind couldn't make himself see. Neither could anybody else. You and I as sinners cannot remove sin. We have to look outside of ourselves to somebody else. Same with the man who was lame. He couldn't make himself better. He couldn't get up and walk. He couldn't earn his living. He couldn't have a normal life. Well, such is as we are as sinners. But both of these men, in one way or another, met the Lord Jesus. The blind man met the Lord Jesus personally. The lame man was told about the power in his name and proved it. And he entered in to the temple with Peter and John, walking and praising God. The blind man, having been found by the Lord and having been spoken to by the Lord, becomes a worshipper. He did him homage. And the whole point of the gospel, my dear friends, is not only to relieve us of the burden of our sins, important and enormous as it may be, but it's to bring us into relationship with God so that we know God in a personal and intimate way and we become worshippers. We're secured to become worshippers. That was what God, through Moses, said to his people of old. Let my son go that he may worship me. God wants worshippers. And he wants worshippers, as we read in John 4, who worship in spirit and in truth. Well, what a wonderful thing the gospel message is, that God has provided every means for our cure, for the forgiveness of our sins, and to make us worshippers. You know, if we just were to hear the gospel and go away and do our own thing, it would not be what God has in mind. God wants you and me as worshippers, that we may worship in spirit and in truth. The man born blind became a worshipper. He was thrown out of the synagogue, and it doesn't seem as if that worried him too much because he'd found Jesus. He'd found somebody else, someone who cared for him, someone who'd healed him, someone who he believed was the Son of God. The Lord says, I am he, and he did him homage. Well, how wonderful it was that this man was not only secured for the Lord, he was delivered from the synagogue system and brought into relationship personally with the Lord Jesus as Son of God. He became a Son of God. Well, what greater purpose, what greater outcome can there be for you and for me? Once lost, wandering sinners, helpless and hopeless, now brought into relationship with the Son of God, with the Lord Jesus Christ, to know him as your Savior. Brought into relationship with him and brought into relationship with God to know him as your Father. Well, we were saying this afternoon that all through the chapter in John 10, the Lord had references to his Father. The Lord came here to make the Father known, make God known as Father. Wonderful thing. Not only do we have our sins forgiven, not only do we have the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit, but we have a relationship with God as our Father. The Lord said in resurrection, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. So we're brought into relationship with one whom we're to know and love. Wonderful thing that both of these men were brought into relationship with Christ. Wonderful thing it is to have a personal living link with the Lord Jesus. This man in John 9, he wasn't worried about the synagogue. He'd found Jesus. He'd found another man who'd become the center of his life. Well, have you found this man? Has he found you, more to the point? Because Jesus found him. When we come to the Acts 3, Peter and John found the man in a way. He was begging and called out for alms. Alms. He wanted money, but he got something far more blessed. He got healed. He got able to walk and enter into the temple to praise God. Because he couldn't have got there any other way. He was proscribed from entering in because he had a defect. But the Lord Jesus, through Peter and Paul, spoke to the man, gave him power to walk and praise. Well, we're given power to walk and praise. The Spirit of God would impel us to praise and help us in our daily walk. What a wonderful thing that two men here, one who met Jesus personally and the other who met the Lord through his disciples, his apostles, that they both met Jesus and he healed them. And they were able to walk. And both the blind man could see and therefore walk. The lame man who saw could also walk. This is the wonderful power of God in the gospel. And the message comes to you and me. And Peter goes on in Acts from this verse, from the healing to the preaching. And he brings it home to them. And he speaks to them as to how they too may come into blessing. Repent, therefore, and be converted for the blotting out of your sins. What the Lord Jesus is looking for from you and from me is repentance. To tell him that you've sinned, that you've disobeyed, that you've done what's wrong. And also to be converted, to be turned around. That's what conversion means, turned around. Many people have had their lives turned around by the Lord Jesus Christ and have become worshippers. We had a wonderful opportunity this morning in praise and worship to the Lord Jesus and to our God and Father. How thankful we are for opportunities to praise and worship. Wonderful blessing. Christian fellowship, yes, but above all, that we may be able to praise and worship together. This is what we're given to do in the Lord's absence. The Lord is not here now. He's in heaven. He's coming again soon for all who believe. But in the meanwhile, we're given the blessing of Christian fellowship and the wonderful opportunity of praise and worship. I think it's a most wonderful thing. The Lord has done everything for us. He's suffered, he's died, he's risen again. He's risen on high. He's ascended up on high, above all heavens, given a name above every name, crowned with glory and honor. And he's coming again. But that's where we are going. We are going, our home is in heaven. Our dear brother Norman used to point to heaven and say and speak about what it was to be there. Well, do we know what it is in the power of the Spirit of God to be there, to enjoy our heavenly portion? Because that's what's going to be our eternal portion. We're going to have bodies of glory. We'll be able to sustain it and sustain it eternally because of the wonderful power of God that he's going to operate. So we have a wonderful future. We're not looking for a wonderful future on earth, are we? We're looking for a wonderful future in heaven. That's where Jesus is, where we're shortly going. And he's made the way open today, even today, to go there, to be there, a right to be there. Those he's called and chosen. Well, I'm not here to preach that, but we teach that, but we preach Christ Jesus Lord. Paul said that. Well, Paul's Gospels were very interesting. This was Peter's Gospel in Acts, Peter and John. And it was wonderful result it had. One man secured for Christ. One man brought into worship for God. May we be amongst those who are worshipping and praising God as we will be doing eternally. May the Lord just bless the world.